And if he takes your joy, you're in trouble. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? The Word tells us that. And sometimes people can be squeezed and squashed to where they even wonder, where is he? I don't feel him. I can't see him. And sometimes that's very discouraging to people, isn't it, Ken? Help me to know that you're near. That's a prayer that I would say 100% of the time God is going to take care of that, because it's about relationship and it's about being distracted but brought back by the Spirit. Because circumstances in life can be a distraction. And if we focus all our time on issues and problems, because we all, they come in and out of our lives continuously. But sometimes it's just nice that God gives us that little refresher, just to know that he is near. You can see the effects of him being near, so we know that he is. But sometimes in a person's crying out in a time of despair, he's very quick to comfort us, and that we know he's near. But that's not the message. I have a few minutes left to finish a study we spent a long time in from the book of Colossians. And just for a review from that, it was Colossians 1 and verse 10. I'm just going to read it. And if it's on the board, that'll be fine. If not, you'll remember it, because we're in the very last segment. The verse is like this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Once again, Paul is writing, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'd written in there, not just sense knowledge, but revelation by the Spirit. And we were in that last section, increasing in the knowledge of God. And we ended up relating to relationships that we have, either with our spouses or friends or relatives, about how are we to increase in the knowledge of God. And of course, we gather knowledge through facts, information, things like that. But with the Lord, we gain knowledge by his word. We have the greatest love story ever told, from the first page to the last page. So I related it to relationships and gathering knowledge about how can we increase. And so these are some of the ways to ponder, to consider, to write down, and just think about them. And I have 10 of them. They're very short. Knowing how much he loves us. There are people, they don't even think about that. How much God loves them. And think about that for you today. How much he loves you. And how much we can trust him. Increasing in that knowledge of trust. We've all been somebody's doormat at one time in our lives. We've all been used, taken advantage of. Not always treated in a fair, respectable way, but God isn't like that. And he's trustworthy. He's kept every promise. He's faithful, and he will always keep his promises. And we can trust him. He created us. He knows every part of us, spirit, soul, and body. And there are certain people you know and I know that I don't trust them because they don't keep their word. They look me right straight in the face and lie to me. And I know they're lying, but I'm not going to lash out. I get this attitude, we'll see. And I say that to myself, we'll see. But not with the Lord. He's trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't do what? There we go. You see, there has to be a heart knowledge by the Spirit that these things become really real and settle down inside of us as believers. Knowing he will provide for three of my needs on Tuesday morning. That's not what it says, is it? No. He said he will provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a pretty high standard that God sets to meet our needs, isn't it? And if he went out on a limb to say that, he's going to back it up. That's the measure that God will meet our needs. It's not like, well, I don't know. You didn't spend 9 hours in my word this week, so I'm gonna chop that part of your provision off for this week. Because you know what? We know people that do that stuff. But he's not like that. He's not like any person except how he manifested himself in the person of Christ. That's how he revealed himself to the world. In Christ, in bodily form, where you could tangibly see him and know him and experience his goodness, his mercy, and his compassion. Knowing, this is about knowing, increasing in the knowledge, okay? This is what Paul prayed for the Colossian believers. Knowing I can rest with personal assurance that he will care for me. What if you live alone? And you have a few people that come in once in a while, you know, to help, like our sister talked about. But when you know and you can, your assurance is strong and you can be rest assured that God is caring for you, and that's why the people are coming, you see, because he takes care of those things. He sends them. And he always finds the ones that are going to listen to him. He's not going to call a runaway. Oops, oh, I didn't feel like going to that house today. I like that one down there better. I'll go there. No, whatever cares you have, you can have the assurance that he will continue to care for us. Knowing what pleases him, knowing what displeases him. And this is important, know what he expects of me. That's one that we don't talk a lot about, but when God has gifted each one of us with talents and skills and ministries and abilities, it's not just so that we can get like fat cats in a Kraft cheese factory. He wants to use us. Not only as a body of believers, but individually. And so he expects of us to use what he's given us. He gave it to us with a purpose. And we've talked and studied and had Bible studies for weeks and months about all the ways that God gifts his beloveds. But he expects something out of that investment. He expects us to learn what they are and then walk in them. And he doesn't beat us over the head if we don't. It's just that we lose the blessing. Knowing how faithful he is, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, we all know that he is. And he's called us to be faithful also. It works both ways. Knowing how perfect he is, there's, you know, Ivory Soap used to boast about being 99.44% pure. Jesus is the 100%. There's no impurity in him whatsoever. In his thoughts, his deeds, his heart, his motives, his actions, he's proven it to each one of us over and over and over. Sometimes maybe we just didn't recognize it. Knowing how pure and holy he is, he won't have anything to do with dabbling in the works of darkness, because he dealt with that at the cross. And one day, the tormentor will be no more.
Thank you, Lord.
And I wrote this little note down because sometimes when I just go in my little cubby at home and I take my notes out and I just ponder them and I think about them. And then I write down little notes to my notes because some things stand out that I want to bring across. And this one, this is for all of us. God will reveal himself as much to you as you're willing to open your heart to him. You know, the heart is an interesting thing because we build walls around our hearts. But the problem with walls is we look at that as a safety feature. It doesn't let people into our lives. But the other problem is it keeps us a prisoner behind that wall. And the Lord doesn't want us to be prisoners. He came to set us free. So these are things as we increase in the knowledge of him. Just to wrap it up, we've come to the end of that, and it's taken a long time because sometimes you all know other things happen and we get caught up in the spirit of the day and we just go with it. But the one thing about the word is we can always come back and pick up where we left off. Because there's no end. We're just passing through the land, but there's no end until the end. And then it's not the end, is it? It's the beginning. So thank you for your patience, because this has taken a long, long time. But it's been really good. And if you have the opportunity, these are all recorded. They're all on Renewed Life in Jesus' webpage. If you have internet, you can go. And they're all put there by title. Tom is very faithful about that. And you can find them all there, the dates. And if you missed one or two, you can go back and find them. We've kept them for years, and Aaron and Angie do a wonderful job of making sure they're recorded to the parts that can be and that are. And I don't mind giving thanks where it's due. And I really thank you, because there's a large network of people that many we don't even know that listen, because we have a counter on the site for what people were on there for, whether it was the word or the resources or whatever. But there's a large group of people. Our friends in India, our friends in London, Tom, they come to the church website and they can hear the recorded parts of our Sunday service. And I think that's really awesome. And that's why I'm kind of a stickler to make sure that we try to get the parts that we can record. We can't do the music because it's copyrighted, so, but we can do the parts that we have here together. So thank you for your patience, because sometimes these can take a long time. And then sometimes somebody else has the word, like next week. I'm excited. I'm going to take a day off and sit in the back row. I never get to sit back there. I'll nudge Genevieve over a little bit. She'll make room for me. I don't take up much room. Right? Anybody in the house need prayer this morning?